Sagt der Elge Mishnah weiter, mit Sechtes Gesubis, Perik Aleph, Mishnah Beis. Psulok, Suvasa Messayim, Ve'almana Mana. Again, you may remember this from Sechtes Yevamis. So first of all, what is a Ksuba? Here's the answer. A Ksuba is a marriage contract that a chosin gives over to his kala when they get married. Ever stood by a chuppah? They call out, so-and-so is mechubed, is honored with reading the Ksuba. He says a bunch of words that are hard to understand, but let me tell you what it says over there. Basically, it says over there the payment that a husband has to make, or maybe his estate. His estate means the money that he left on this world. Whoever's in charge of taking care of that money, if the husband passes away. If the marriage comes to an end, and there are two ways a marriage can come to an end, either the husband passes away or through divorce, the wife has to be taken care of. He has to give her money. He also has to return the property that she brought with her into the marriage. How much does he have to pay? Zokta Mishnah, this is standard. He may promise more, but this is standard. Bisula, if she was never married, Ksubasa Messiah, then the Ksuba is 200 zuz. How much is 200 zuz in today's money? Well, look at it this way. It's supposed to be enough to buy food and clothing for 1 year. The almana, if he's marrying almana, a widow that was once married, so he has to give a mana, which is 100 zuz. Now again, that's the minimum amount. There's something called Toisefes Ksuba or Toisves Ksuba. We'll see more about that later. Zakta Mishnah Vayter. Psula almana grusha vechalutza min ha'erisin. Again, the marriage process is broken up into two. The first part is called erisin, where the chasen says, "Ariat mekadeshes liba tabasu kedas moishav Yisrael." That's one of the ways that we do erisin or kiddushin. She's married to him. She's not allowed to live with anyone else. She has din of an eishes ish, but she's not allowed to live with him either until we have the second part of marriage, which is the nesuyin. Well, what if a man was mekadesh an isha and then he died? Or divorced her, or the man died without children, and one of the brothers performed chalitza with her. She's called a chalutza. But it's mina erisin. Even though technically she was married, but she was never allowed to live with her husband yet, and therefore she is still considered a psula. And ksubasan, their ksuba, these women that are mentioned in the Mishnah, the almana, the grusha, the chalutza, mina erisin is mesayim 200. When they remarry, because they were never in a matzah where they were allowed to live with their husband, it's like a girl that was never married. V'yesh lentainas psulim. And if the husband feels that it's not true, they're not a psula, they were together with a man, he can bring that protest to Bezdin. He doesn't have to pay her ksuba. He married her thinking that she's a psula, and it turns out that she's not. He's going to claim he would have never married her had he known that. Vayter says the Mishnah Hagiyoris, in the case of a Giyoris, a woman that became a Ger, she's called a Giyoris, Vashvuya, or she was captured and then ransomed, Vashivcha, or a Shivcha Kananis, Shenivdu. In regard to these women, they were redeemed, that's in the case of the one that was captured, Shenizgayru, or they became a Giyoris, they converted. That's for the Giyoris, Vashenishtacharu, or they were freed, that's the case of the Shivcha. But when they were redeemed, became a ger, or freed, they were Pchusais Mibnois Shalosh Shanim V'yem Echad. They were under the age of 3 years and a day. In other words, her third birthday, which is the first day of the fourth year. Zakta Mishnah, it is assumed they were too young, and therefore they could have not been with another man. And Mimeluk Subasa Mesai, doesn't make a difference how old she is now. But the assumption is that when there may have been an issue, she was still so young, and therefore she's considered a psula, and her ksuba is 200. The Yeshlan Tainis psula, Amimela. If he marries her thinking she's a psula, and it turns out that's not the case, he could say it was a mistake. So quickly, chazing over our Mishnah, we learned that a psula, a woman that was never married to another man, ksubasa mesayim, she gets 200, that's the base amount. And almana gets a mana, 100 means 100 zuz. So is the amount the husband has to pay the wife. If the marriage comes to an end, They get divorced, he has to pay it. If he dies, his estate has to pay it. We also record the properties that she brings in to the marriage, depending on the situation. We'll see more about that later, Be'ez Hashem. Now, it's possible she's an almana, but she's an almana or a gerusha or a chalutza from Erison. In other words, her first husband was mekadesh her. Then they got divorced. He died and the brother gave her chalitza. In all these cases, even though technically, in a way, she was married already, we still say her ksuba is 200, because she was never allowed to live with her husband. And he would have a tainas psulim, meaning to say, if it turns out that she's not a psul, he can say the whole thing was a mistake. A giyores, a woman that was captured, a shivcha kananis, if they were magaya themselves, or they were ransomed and freed, while they were only less than 3 years and a day, she has a cheskas psula. The assumption is she was never together with another man. Therefore, ksuba is 200, even though now she's much older. But at the time, we have reason to believe that she was in a situation where she's not a psula. At that time, she was too young. Taisus Yamtu brings an interesting thing over here. B'shem his Rebbe, the Maharal Prague. The Ritva says it as well. The order is not the same. First, the Mishnah says, Giyoris, then the Shvuya, the captive, then the Shivcha. So really, to be consistent, we should say, if Nizgairu, v'nivdu, v'nishtachru. But the Mishnah starts off, HaGiyoris v'shvuya v'shivcha. Then the Mishnah says, that was redeemed. The redeemed goes on the Shvuya, on the second one. Yet the Mishnah says that first. The Shenizgairu that goes on the first one, the Giyoris. Yet the Mishnah says that second. And the answer is, the Mishnah is telling us the Seder of what takes precedence. Pidyon Shvuyim is one of the greatest mitzvahs that there are. The woman that's captured, we have to do everything within our power to get her redeemed. That comes before anything else. A Giyoris, we don't look to make Gerim. It's just if somebody wants to become a Ger, and Bezin does their job by trying to convince them that it's not necessary. Do what you have to do and you'll get your Olam Haba, but that person still insists, so eventually we're Megayer then. That's why first comes Shenivdu, then comes Vishenes Gairu. Last is Vishenishtachru, because there's an Isser to be Meshacher and Eved Kanani Bechinam. By the way, could a little girl under 3 years old decide that she wants to become a Giyoris? The answer is that if her father or mother becomes a Ger or Giyoris, and they decide to be Megayer their children, this could be done. Later on, the child is asked if the child wants to accept it. But originally, the parents could be Megayer themselves together with their children.